Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Sustainability in the Sea, a podcast by Ocean People for Ocean People, hosted by me and produced by Future Swell. We've missed you guys. And lately, I've been feeling like I want to up our frequency to one episode a week. Is that something you guys want? It would be a big lift on our end to do that, but we just have so many people whose stories we want to share with you. We've also been going a little bit shorter on the episodes, so let us know what you think about that. We just want to hear from you guys. I'm so happy to be able to share the stories like the one today. This is our first episode with a solutionist in Costa Rica. We sit down with Alejandra Terán from Sail Cargo. Sail Cargo is innovating the shipping industry. So if you guys didn't know, global shipping accounts for like a tangible amount of emissions. It contributes to the climate crisis so significantly, especially as we ship goods across the world and our supply chains are globalized. Like, you can think about like a shirt, right? A shirt is going across, crossing multiple countries and oceans to get to us. And it's expedited, right? Because of that same day shipping. So the way that goods are shipped right now in shipping containers is powered by fossil fuels and contributing in a significant way to the climate crisis. And Sail Cargo represents an alternative. Alejandra and I talk about all of the ways that the practices that they're using at Sail Cargo are actually rooted in traditional sailing practices, but they've been modernized through renewable energy. And that's such a common thread in so many conservation solutions. We look at the indigenous and traditional ecological knowledge that was done in the past for land management, conservation, coral reefs, shipping, and we modernize it with the technology and perspectives of current times for the future. It's something that when we see how it works in an example like this episode, we can start applying it to our own solutions that we work in. And I also just love talking to like incredibly badass women who are just like doing the work. Like, Costa Rica is such a leader when it comes to sustainability globally. They're like on track for their emission or for their climate goals. So like from the Paris Agreement, I think they're like over their targets, by the way. They're like one of the only countries who've done that. And they're such a hub for ecotourism too. That's like what I've known most of for Costa Rica. But their approach as a business at Sail Cargo is not just about shipping. They have a nonprofit arm, which we talk about. They create musical instruments for kids out of like the scrap wood that's made from the shipyard. They plant trees to reforest the trees that they use to create lumber for the ships. And the holistic and regenerative approach really embodies the knowing that, you know, we are a part of nature, and so we have to give back to the cycle. So I know you guys are gonna love this episode. Thank you for being here. I love the little Sustainability in the Sea Future Swell audience. Like, you guys are literally the best, and I'm just happy to be here. So my last note before we get into the episode is that I've been doing my Blue Mind Challenge again this year. So 31 days of water, sharing it on TikTok. And if you've been following along, but you're a new listener to the podcast, we interviewed the father of the Blue Mind Theory, Dr. Nichols J, last January, the first time I did the Blue Mind Challenge. So go listen to that. One of my favorite episodes of all time. And if you're interested about the Blue Mind Theory, but you haven't read the book, this episode's like a really good roundup of all that research, and you can start using it in your own daily life, no matter if you live near the ocean. That's something that you get out of that episode. So go check it out. And love you guys. Hope you have a great day and are having a great whatever day you're listening to this on. So welcome back to another episode of Sustainability and the Sea. Alejandra, welcome to Sustainability in the Sea.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You're tuning in from Costa Rica, right?
Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing.
Costa Rica. Central America.
You're our first guest tuning in from Costa Rica. So this is really exciting for us. I start every interview with asking the guest,
how they ended up getting into this work, because I think that sustainability and the sea ocean solution, saving the ocean, saving the planet are like, that's a really big career to dedicate all of your time and energy to. And so were you always someone who loved the ocean and the environment?
Well, I have always, I was born literally like 1 hour away from the sea. And with my family, we always went to the beach to spend all of our holidays. So my connection to the sea is huge. We went snorkeling, we went water skiing, we went to do all kinds of things and explore the marine life. So that's where the ocean, the beach has always been in my heart. My career has been marketing and business, and it all started in corporate world with jobs at Bacardi, at Henkel, at Kimberly-Clark. And there I explored and learned so much and went up in my career until there was a separation from my values and what I was doing there, and especially because I was living in the beach and I was not enjoying it at all.
Yeah.
So there I decided I needed a change, and that happened 1 year ago, literally. So I'm new in this area of environment and working in something with a bigger purpose. And one day I was like, burned out of so much work.
Yeah.
And one of the founders of Sail Cargo appeared in my next door pool. Literally, my neighbor invited me, hey, let's go have a drink to the pool. And there was this Link Skimond, one of the founders, and he saw my face. I was like, no life, no energy. And he said that there was an opportunity in Sail Cargo. I didn't even knew the company, nothing. I just needed an exit, and there it was. Yeah, I took it. And now Sail Cargo has turned such an amazing way that I am so more conscious of how I consume my things. Why am I doing it? And this drive is incredible.
Yeah, it's so incredible because the background and expertise that you bring now to the conservation environmental field, coming from corporate, coming from marketing, is so important because we need these solutions to be marketed. Oh God, I was on the Sail Cargo Instagram and you guys have such incredible storytelling, the regenerative shipyard, which we'll get into, but just, I know that that's you and your team. And just thank you for being a communicator for the solutions, which we'll get into. And also, I think it's so important to highlight that you were doing something for your career and you love the ocean and you were like, there's a values disconnect right here. And I just need to trust that there's a way to do both. And you did. And then something serendipitous, like meeting the founder, ended up happening and this opportunity fell on your plate. So like, I want people listening to remember that they can trust the process and that you can absolutely create a career for the planet that you don't have to compromise on. So I think that when people think of the world, when environmentalists think of Costa Rica, what I know about Costa Rica is that you guys are ahead of your climate goals. You are like sustainability champions in the entire industry, setting the stage for everybody else. You're like factor sustainability into so many different sectors. And as like an ecotourism hotspot, you're also really engaging visitors in that. And so before we get into Sail Cargo, I just wanted to ask, like, is that idea that the Western world or the rest of the world has around Costa Rica accurate in your mind? Like, do you feel like the places where you live prioritize sustainability in across sectors?
Well, now that I'm so much in this subject than before, I have heard from external people, foreigners and other friends from outside that yes, definitely what their countries are doing compared to what we're doing. Or for example, in an interview in another podcast was like, oh my God, Costa Rica is doing it the right way, right?
Yeah.
So from that, And also other people that work with my mother, for example. She's in a zero waste international alliance, and she receives people from all the world, right? So, and they are examples of, they're putting examples of Costa Rica in the table. Obviously there are gaps. No country is perfect. And if you come here, you will still find some trash in the beaches, or there are a lot of opportunities. But what we're doing, the decarbonization plan, we have been advancing so much in the targets that, yeah, it's I believe the key has been the union between private sector and public sector. That has helped us a lot, and also education. Education is the key to generate change, and there has been a priority in teaching how, at least in the part of waste management, how in the municipalities they can implement best practices to reduce or to treat waste in the best way.
Yeah, that's incredibly inspiring, because I feel like here in the United States, like that, the private sector isn't 1,000% on board yet. And so if you don't have that piece of it, you're limited, right? But then Costa Rica speaks to what's possible when you have government organizations, NGOs, and private sector all working together. And I was so, so, so excited when you guys reached out, because Sail Cargo is a solution to the emissions associated with the shipping industry. And you guys are part of the private sector. You guys are a business. And for those listening that don't know, we live in a globalized economy. And that means that our goods are oftentimes shipped over oceans. And because of that, the shipping industry accounts for 2% of total emissions contributing to climate change, which is extremely significant to the entire transportation sector, which accounts for around 20%. So it's a huge piece of it. And decarbonizing shipping, we're not going to meet our climate goals without decarbonizing shipping, which is exactly what Sail Cargo is doing. So could you give us, and we'll get into the details, but like a high level overview of what Sail Cargo is doing and the goal for Sail Cargo?
Okay. Sail Cargo is building and will be operating zero emission or clean shipping vessels to transport cargo emission free. The intention and the vision is to prove the value of clean shipping. The company started or was registered in 2014.
Okay.
And since then, not a lot of policies had been implemented about what's happening, or insights about what's happening in the shipping industry. So the problem was there. That we can spend like a complete hour talking about all the shipping industry and even directly to marine life, right? But yeah, it all started like that, thinking in how shipyards, regular steel shipyards work, or how what happens in international waters stays in international waters, because there's no country regulating that, only the flag states that own the ships.
Right.
So there are so many insights that are like hidden and stay there that we said, okay, let's do a future-proof fleet made of sustainable wood fully, like bringing traditional boat building techniques to today. If before these tall ships were used for trading and it was a successful trading, why not bring it now and combine it with modern technology and renewable energy, motors, auxiliary propulsion systems that we can use and bring products where the people want them?
Yeah,
generating awareness, right? More influencing other companies, trying to influence, because it's like we say, like we're in a movement, like proving the value of clean shipping is so much more than just building ships and shipping cargo emission free. It's like, okay, it is possible. We have this ship that is being built. It's now 65% advanced. It's in the center of the Pacific coast of Costa Rica. And that's the pilot and the first ship that we will be launching in 2025. But the concept is that, well, let's bring a new and alternative and say it's possible to do it in this regenerative model, where I can explain later how we work.
Yeah, what I think about the most effective regenerative solutions for our planet, they always go back to traditional ways it was done and then modernize it using the technologies that we have. We're doing this from coral restoration to now shipping. And I think
That's like
it's a blueprint, right? It worked for hundreds of years with little to no impact, and now we can do it again. And so, for those listening, they're tall masks, right? It that's it, and you're using there's still storage to send just as much gear as you want, and
yep.
the way that it's created is traditionally harvested wood and woodworking. And that's what I loved on your Instagram was you actually show the whole process of how it's being made and personalize it with the team. You're employing local people as well as like creating this in a way that can be an example to others, right? What excites you most about the building process and how you guys do it?
Ooh. This company is such so amazing that everything excites me, but basically the advancement of each accomplishment, each piece of wood plays for me. It's my first time dealing with a business like this type, just advancing in a very manual but RT way, just putting a huge timber of wood that had been in a steam box for like 6 hours, and a crew of international and local people having 20 minutes to place the wood, the timber in for the exterior planking, for example, and having to bend it in 20 minutes with gloves because it's too hot. It's impressive. So yeah, just seeing each little accomplishment from the construction team. Wow, it's like you guys are the best, and yeah.
Yeah, as
And also
I,
another thing that
yeah.
excites me is seeing how in this community of, because it's international boat builders that come from all parts of the world, especially Europe, Canada, Australia also, and see how they connect and share, and the connection is this shared purpose. It's incredible, like a community. Oh my God, I love
And they're bringing their values from their home countries or regions and what they've learned there to this industry, which is what's so important. And, like the way shipping is done now is, yes, contributes to carbon emissions, but it also has such devastating effects on our marine ecosystems and marine life. And I always think about I guess oil spills, but also just like entanglement in fishing gear or ship strikes, which can happen from fast moving ships that are not like keeping an eye out for a lot of this marine life. And it's hard because we do live in a globalized economy. And so if we're having goods being shipped overseas, it's like, how do we even solve a problem that's harming the marine life that that we're supposed to be coexisting with on this planet? I don't know what when you've as the marketing director, how has this approach to zero emission sailing excited you for how it can help the ocean?
It was since day one that I had to learn the pitch deck, and I understood the problem, right? And it's not, as you mentioned, it's not only the oil spills, it's the ship breaking, and how that ship breaking, sorry, a container ship or a steel ship can
Yeah.
last. It has a lifespan of, on average, 30 years,
Okay.
while a wooden boat could last like 100 years. You
Wow.
can still see old tall ships working perfect in perfect condition, obviously with the right maintenance. But just understanding and reading and doing the research on how shipbreaking works in South Asia beaches, and how UN declared it as one of the most dangerous jobs to do, and how young people work there, and also like the toxic chemicals and things that are spilled in this these beaches, these places. It's like so sad. And if I can reduce my impact by using less ships and having that in my conscience and learning about this kind of impact and saying, I want a book of Amazon, or I want a shampoo from whatever country. But we locally produce incredible shampoo also. Why not produce and consume local?
Right.
And just by that, just by knowing the real impact, this is how we're going to generate change.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, when you say that, you know, I've seen how amazing the ships is going to look when it's complete, but when you say zero emission, it's zero emission because of the sails. And then it's regeneratively created through wood. Are there any other ways that make it zero to low emission?
Yes. Okay. So understanding the problem, we, or the founder said, okay, let's build this and know for real our raw material, where is it coming from? So the idea of building these ships in Costa Rica was, let's be close to this main resource that we need. And also Costa Rica is one of the countries with the most strict wood extraction policies. So that's the main reason why we're in Costa Rica. And that's how we started building Ceiba. That's the name of the ship. Ceiba will be will have three masts, traditional sails, and during 90% of the time, it will be the propulsion will be fully wind. Wind is available. Nature is marvelous that we have all the energy that we need in the sea. So yes, why not move and power the vessel with wind? And during 10% of the time, approximately, it will be the propulsion. It's a secondary propulsion system that it will have two propellers that, if the ship is advancing in a high speed, the propellers will be placed in a specific way so that it can generate kinetic energy and charge the lithium batteries. And that way the electric motor will work. And this will be used for ports, maneuvering in ports, and for when there's no wind. So that's
wow,
how we make our ships zero emission or very low emission impacts.
I didn't even imagine that there was going to be renewable energy on the ship. Like I figured solar panels, but I didn't think when there's not wind, you have a backup generator that is powered by renewable energy. That's incredible.
Exactly. Not oil.
Not oil. Oh my gosh. Have you seen on the like high level leadership end that people are really excited about this and want to start using a model that Sail Cargo represents?
The idea started, the founders were inspired by other ships in Europe that do this kind of shipping, like dry goods, either rum or other, like chocolate also, that they ship in Europe. So that's where they said, okay, let's go build something bigger and offer a more scalable service. Still, it's a niche, definitely, but not understanding that there's not enough offer to the demand that is increasing of clean shipping.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the example. This year, it's my first year in Sail Cargo, and this year I have received, it's increasing the amount of cargo inquiries of companies. It's more like smaller companies, not corporations, right? But companies that want to understand the impact and want to ship and clean or mitigate their carbon footprint from their supply chain. So it fills us with hope, in fact, to see that organizations want to make things different and understand the impact. The offer and the regulations are being advanced, but probably not in the pace that the world needs it. So there are also, you can see in a lot of articles, international media saying that there's this huge ship, huge cargo vessel that it has automatized wings that are using or will be using wind as a way to reduce the emissions of the ship.
Oh, wow. I would love to see you guys' operation in person in Costa Rica. I feel like It sounds like people just need to know that you're there offering a solution. Because I'm so proud that you're saying that companies are trying to decarbonize their entire supply chain, because we have a great demand for sustainable products now. But I always think, I'm like, these products, how did they get here? Like, and what were they packaged in? And now they're not packaged in plastic, but were they? And how did it, how many countries did this, how far did this travel? How many countries did this touch? What were the people being paid livable wages? These are always the questions that are going through my head. And I am really inspired to hear you say that the companies that are reaching out, while they're not big corporations yet, they care about the entire supply chain. There's a demand for this. And I think we just need to be loud about it.
Yeah. And I mean, our service, I think we need to humans and organizations. Maybe for some people that are very money driven might think, oh no, that's not efficient, that we need money right then, and we need the product now. But if we try to understand the real impact to the environment and maybe get a little bit, I don't know if the word is uncomfortable. For example, our ships will take like longer than conventional container ships. For that, you need more planning in the supply chain. Okay, I'm not going to have it in 5 days from one port to the other, but it's going to take 9 days. That's fine. Yeah. Well, it's going to get there.
Yeah. And we don't need to be operating at 1,000,000 miles a minute. I always say that because we live on an island here and we don't have overnight shipping. That doesn't exist here. We don't have same day shipping that people on the mainland have. And I always tell my partner, like, I've never felt like I needed it once. Like, it's just a different way of living that I think will benefit us all in a holistic way, not just our planet, but also the way we live our life. If we can just slow down and not be in a rush all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You've been with them about a year. What has been the biggest challenge you guys have grown a lot in the last, I know you started it in 2014, but definitely with the rise and push for more climate solutions. What's been the biggest challenge with the growth of Sail Cargo as a business?
Well, it's been, I mean, I can say it has always been easy. I remember a lot of people that worked before I came, that jobs, people asking, wanting to work with us was, well, the project attracts such amazing people that want to work here. Investors, this company is fully a private investment. So investors, we receive constant investment inquiries. I think that the biggest challenge of being in a movement that we're trying to generate conscious, right, and making or proving the value of clean shipping is making this impact in a fossil fuel dominated world.
Right.
So when we speak to probably supporters, we try to say, okay, we are offering a return, important return, but also, claro, it's not compared to the return probably fossil fuel companies give, but it's more important to know that my money is making an impact rather than the amount of return that I'm getting.
Yeah.
That's mainly the one of the challenges we have gotten, like to change this mindset of what is my money really doing, what impact. And another one is by being in Costa Rica and how we have grown in this year. In 2019, we laid the keel. In 2018, we started doing the infrastructure of all the shipyard, right? By being in Costa Rica and not in a closer country to other shipyards, for example, we have had to get creative. And for example, the nails we use in the ship, we make them internally.
Wow.
So in the shipyard, we are making some of our tools, even we make them. And that's really cool. Come on, getting from a problem, trying to be creative and having a solution.
Yeah. I also think, like, going back to what you said before, it is a fossil fuel dominated world, but you're having a huge amount of inquiries about investing. And when you're saying like, okay, we can't provide the exact return on investment as the fossil fuel industry, I think that's where consumer demand comes in. Like us as being like, we want you to have a decarbonized supply chain. The louder we get about that on the consumer side, then businesses will say, okay, it's worth it for us to go this route that is low emission or zero emission than this high polluting route because our consumers want that. And so it kind of has to come from all angles. And I love that because it means that we all can contribute to it to generate the change and the impact that we need.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Looking ahead to 2024, what do you have on the horizon at Sail Cargo that you can share with our listeners?
Well, we have advancing in the construction. As if your listeners are following us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel,
okay,
we communicate construction advancements. And it's next year is going to be advancing as much as possible in the construction of Seiba so that we can launch it as soon as possible. That's our main priority right now.
So people who are listening who want to see that process, obviously your Instagram, your YouTube, website, LinkedIn, all the things, but you also have a Substack, don't you? Did I see that?
Yeah.
What do you share?
Our newsletters.
Okay.
Our monthly newsletters are sent by Substack.
Okay, great. So there's a lot of ways for people to plug in, and then people who want to learn more on people learn more on those platforms, how can we support you?
Okay. If people want to support the project, there are different ways. Sharing the voice mainly. We want to get more supporters. We want to making this movement bigger. And they can access also to our website. And there's the part where people can either invest or access to our nonprofit. So I haven't spoken about this, but Sail Cargo is a for-profit company, but it has another, like a sister organization that is a nonprofit.
Oh.
And that's called Astillero Verde. And Astillero Verde is what makes all the model regenerative. So Astillero Verde, there's a website only of this nonprofit, and people can support by planting trees and donating for that, for our reforestation program. People can buy musical instruments that are made out of the wood scraps of the boat building process, or any other site you can access. And also you can come to the shipyard if you're in Costa Rica, traveling, having a vacation, and you can come and visit the shipyard where we offer like an educational tour explaining what's a regenerative shipyard and showing Seiba and its construction. So basically those are the ways that people can support, but of course spreading the voice is the most powerful one, I think.
Oh my God, I literally have tears in my eyes. I can't believe that is the other sister part of Sail Cargo. Yeah. Is because I saw that, you know, you guys, to keep your wood demand low and regenerative, you'll upcycle things and instruments and give them to kids in schools. But I didn't understand that you were also doing tree planting and engaging visitors in it and offering education and doing all of the work that's required to change the demand for something that Sail Cargo represents. So thank you for doing that and highlighting the nonprofit, because that's such a great model too for businesses, that they can have a nonprofit branch or arm or sister organization that helps makes a business more sustainable on the creation and scalability end. So I'm going to link all that stuff in the show notes for people to easily click. And
thank you.
Since you'd probably deal with young people with the classrooms and the tours, what is your number one piece of advice for young environmentalists?
Advice is trying to search for a way to connect and be empathetic with the other person that you're talking to. So I will give an example. I remember my grandfather, who was like a tree hugger, an amazing person, that when I was a kid, he took me, hey, let's go to the beach and pick up trash. But he never explained to me why we should pick up trash. And for me, it was a horrible activity. Like, why? I want to play with my toys. I don't know, or go to the ocean. And recently with my nephew, I went to the beach and I told him, hey, let's go pick up trash because we're going to save turtles, because this is what happens with this straw, or this is what happens with this other. And by learning and connecting and seeing, having this image of what happens to these turtles or this fish, so he was so excited of picking up trash and just leaving a note in the sand like, hey, don't throw your trash here. And I was like, okay, what? That's my recommendation. It's like how we are trying to generate or educate people and have an impact with our tours also. It's like just by explaining that real impact and connecting with an item that it's valuable for the person you're talking to, it's gonna make a powerful change or make your words more impactful.
I agree so wholeheartedly, because we can't make different decisions if we don't understand why the ones we're making now are harmful. Like I'm sure people listening to this didn't have awareness around the way the shipping industry is impacting our ocean or planet. And now they do. And so I think that's the first step. And I'm so happy you're our first organization that represents the shipping industry, but also from Costa Rica, and also an amazing woman who's representing the storytelling aspect of this company that's going to be doing big things. So
we
finish every episode with the same question, which is, if you had to put like a message on a billboard that would be in that all the most powerful people in the world would see, what would your message say? It's hard. It's hard.
I have a lot of messages.
I know. We've had like artistic people come be like, oh, I would want to paint this, or I want it to be this photo. But I love this question. So if you had to choose one.
Okay. I would say ship smart, ship less. If not, ship with us.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Alejandra, for coming on and representing Sail Cargo's mission. And I really applaud you guys for it's almost like a revitalization of traditional practices in the shipping industry. This is a big industry to address, and we need people like you doing that work. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share your message.
Thank you, Sarisa. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for all your work also. It's amazing. And let's keep on generating an impact and spreading the voice.